This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth and part of the greatest leadership that this great nation has ever enjoyed was provided by our 16th president, by Abraham Lincoln. He is, as a new book observes, the closest we've ever come to someone in our historic past who deserves sainthood. Somebody whose entire life, basically, was devoted to building his country and to healing divisions within his country. The sake of the Union, that was what he fought a successful war for. We'll be speaking about some lessons we can learn from Abraham Lincoln right now. Speaking to Steve Inskeep of National Public Radio and a host on Morning Edition on NPR. Steve Inskeep has written a book called Differ We Must, How Lincoln Succeeded in a Divided America. We will get to that coming up on the Michael Medved Show. But first, one of the American divides right now, and it has become a bitter divide, has to do with the faraway fighting in the Middle East. And yes, with all of our political divisions here, there seem to be few that are more intense than the political divisions about whether the United States should be supporting Israel or supporting basically Hamas, by giving Hamas what they want most, which is a ceasefire, which is the equivalent of victory. It is, as has been said, they want Israel to cease so Hamas can continue to fire. By the way, it's very striking that no one has been talking about, with all of the calls for ceasefire, which you hear so much from the left, and particularly from people like Rashida Tlaib, there's nothing mentioned about the hostages. For instance, have you heard of any Hamas spokesman saying, okay, if you stop the bombing, if you stop or at least halt temporarily Israel's advance on Gaza City, we'll release the 240 human beings, people of all nations, by the way, including some Israeli Arabs who are citizens of Israel but have been taken prisoner by Hamas, who knows what shape they're in. I hope that they are in good shape and surviving. But no one on Hamas has said, okay, we will agree if there's a ceasefire to releasing all the hostages and stopping the rocket fire, which has continued. And how do I know that the rocket fire has continued? Because I have close family. My brother has made his life in Israel. Again, I have first cousins who have made their lives in Israel. And there still are the sirens that go off with the rocket fire that comes out of Gaza, which is why the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, are so determined to try to dismantle some of those rocket launchers, which are often placed right in the midst of schools or hospitals or UN food distribution centers. But when you have people like Rashida Tlaib, the unspeakably awful congresswoman from Michigan, the Democrat, She, by the way, is not typical of the Democratic Party. She represents a very small minority of that party, thank God. But she has just said that in a video she prepared, Joe Biden supports the genocide of the Palestinian people. How outrageous that is. And the statistics don't lie. How can you have genocide when during the period of Israeli administration of Gaza, the population didn't go down because of mass killing. The population went up because of improved standards of living. The population under Israeli administration in Gaza between 1967 and 2005 went up 400%. It quadrupled. Okay, that's not genocide. That's not a way to describe it. Here is Jake Tapper of CNN talking about Israel and the calls for ceasefire, which come from so many voices on the left. This is clip 9.
So they're pushing forward with their ground incursion into Gaza. From the point of view of Israel, they hear all the calls for a ceasefire. What they do not hear is anyone in the international community proposing any way for them to get back their 240 hostages that Hamas kidnapped. They don't hear anyone proposing any way for Hamas to be removed from the leadership of Gaza. Israel sees the parades and the rallies for the ceasefire, and they see no parades and no rallies for the return of the hostages or the removal of Hamas. So, here we are, and here is President Biden in a tricky situation. President Biden spoke with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu on the phone just a few hours ago, we're told, pushing for a humanitarian pause, but not a ceasefire, which Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. is trying to get Israel to agree on.
Okay, and this idea of humanitarian pause is very different from a ceasefire, because it indicates that it is still unacceptable for a terrorist group to continue in power over the Gaza Strip, right next to Israel, when they are saying, and their leaders are saying, we will strike again. There is no intention for a long-term reconciliation or some kind of provision that prevents the frequent sporadic rocket fire, that prevents other events like October 7th, which was 1 month ago. John Kirby was on Fox News, and good for him. He was on with Neil Cavuto and talked about Rashida Tlaib saying that the Biden administration is guilty for supporting genocide. Listen, this is clip 4.
Are you concerned this is leading to a schism, even within the Democratic Party and among those who would normally support what the president wants to do in a foreign affairs matter?
Well, certainly members of Congress have got to speak for themselves and for their beliefs about this. We're not focused here at the National Security Council about the political, domestic political situation here.
Well, what she said, though, was that the administration was supporting genocide.
Well, of course we're not doing that. And what is happening in Gaza, again, as terrible as all these civilian casualties are, and we know there's many, many thousands of them, we don't want there to be any. I don't want to minimize that at all. But you can't look at what is happening in Gaza and say that it fits the definition of genocide. And clearly, we don't agree with that description. We think that is an irresponsible way of describing this. We don't associate ourselves with that. And that is not, in our view, that is not what is happening here.
Okay, look, good for John Kirby and for clarifying that this is not an issue of genocide, for God's sake. By the way, the U.S. officially, when asked how many people have been killed in Gaza and the bombing so far, the Hamas sources say it's over 10,000. And all our government will say it's in the thousands. And the Israelis insisted, of course, it's much less. When we come back, a new low for a famous rock and roll star in an interview saying the Hamas massacre that we all heard about didn't happen. It's all a fake. We'll get to that coming up on the MedMed Show. stability. Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. This is $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature-regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
The Michael Medved Show.
You can't handle the truth.
And on the Michael Medved Show, here's a public figure who hasn't been able to handle the truth. In fact, he hasn't even been in the same room with the truth. He hasn't even been in the same municipality with the truth for a very long time. His name is Roger Waters. He is best known. That was Run Like Hell that you just heard from Pink Floyd. he was part of the band, the leader of the band, Pink Floyd, and a skilled rock and roller, but a very radical left commentator and political activist who despises the state of Israel. In other words, he believes the state of Israel should not exist, a belief that he shares with Hamas. But he has reached a new low. And again, what's so remarkable about this is that just as there are people who still believe, despite the years of history and the accumulation of evidence, that the best documented mass crime in U.S. history, in all history, world history, the Holocaust, that it didn't really happen. Now he is saying that the pogrom of October 7th didn't really happen. He was in an interview with a left-wing journalist, independent left-wing journalist Glenn Greenwald, justifying the Hamas massacre on October 7th, a month ago. If it happened, listen to Roger Waters.
How the hell did the Israelis not know this was going to happen? And I'm still a little bit down that rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, didn't the Israeli army in those 10 or 11 camps hear the bangs when they blew up whatever they had to blow up to get across the border?
Mm-hmm.
There's something very fishy about that.
Do you think what Hamas did on October 7th can be justified?
Well, we don't know what they did do, but was it justified for them to resist the occupation? Yeah. But again, it's what you said, it's the Geneva Conventions. They are absolutely legally and morally bound to resist the occupation since 1967. It's an obligation.
But are there limits on the way in which they can resist?
As I said in the statement that I put out after it, I said, if war crimes were committed, I condemn them.
If war crimes were committed, I condemn them. See, the difference between this and Holocaust denial is that the Nazis did their best to conceal the final solution, as they put it, the mass execution of civilian Jews. They didn't boast about it. And here, the Hamas broadcast it live. A lot of the footage that we have of some of the torture and the mutilation and, yes, the beheadings and more, that is all on video. It was covered by Hamas with great pride. I think a lot of people here have heard at least the translation version of the young Hamas killer who called and wanted his mother to come to the phone because he wanted to talk about how proud he was of killing Israelis. And by the way, Roger Waters continued. Listen.
Do you think there's been evidence that's emerged that suggests they committed those?
There may have been individuals. What I was reading a news story this morning, which Grayson, our friend Max Blumenthal. So there's a long story which I read this morning, but Haaretz have finally come out with figures of how many people were actually killed and who they were.
On that day, uh-huh.
On that day, yeah. And so probably the first 400 were Israeli military personnel. Who are? That is not a war crime.
No, but what about targeting civilians or abducting them?
No, of course not. No, right. Of course I don't condone that. But the thing was thrown out of all proportion by the Israelis making up stories about beheading babies.
Okay, they aren't made up. And this is so sick and so bizarre. And again, because it's Hamas itself that is proud of the cruelty. It's proud of the 240 people who were killed at the Tribe of Nova music festival out in the desert, including people from all nations, including, as mentioned before, Israeli Arabs. I mean, concerning Roger Waters of Pink Floyd. Earlier this year, he praised Vladimir Putin, of course, and he criticized the West for supplying Ukraine with arms, then implied that Kyiv and its allies were to blame for the conflict with Russia. Quote, the Russian invasion of Ukraine was not unprovoked, so I also condemn the provocateurs in the strongest possible terms. Waters told diplomats in New York City via video link, without referring to any specific provocateurs, individuals, groups, or countries, and to what it was that provoked the genocidal, yes, attack on Ukraine. The Daily Mail has a headline, Dark Side of the Loon. Roger Waters says Ukraine is not really a country and is run by Nazis amid a row with Pink Floyd bandmate David Gilmour, who has accused him, Roger Waters, of being a Putin apologist. Well, he's not only a Putin apologist, but he's a Hamas apologist. To contrast with that, there's a group called Bring Them Home Now, which is about the hostages, that has a TV spot that ran during Monday Night Football last night. And that ad with pictures of beautiful little children who have been kidnapped and are being held by Hamas sounds like this.
Last week, these were innocent children. Today they are hostages, pawns in a political struggle they can barely understand. Their innocence gone forever. Their lives, if they survive, irreparably scarred. No child should ever be a hostage. Bring them home now.
Okay, this is part of the hashtag Bring Them Home Now. And I do want to acknowledge that one of the people responsible for several of these ads is someone I'm very proud of, my nephew and my brother's son. And again, the idea that people like Rashida Tlaib have nothing to say about bringing home the hostages as part of the ceasefire she imagines or wishes to occur. Abraham Lincoln knew something about bringing people together and about how to handle differences in a divided America. We'll learn from Abraham Lincoln with Steve Inskeep of NPR coming up on the MedVed Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has dismissed a GOP proposal linking Ukraine aid to border security.
A group of Senate Republicans released a proposal for border security that they want in exchange for Ukraine funding. And they know full well what they came up with is a total non-starter.
Schumer cautioned that the Republican plan could impede the passage of funding for Ukraine's conflict with Russia. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel is willing to consider brief pauses in the ongoing conflict with Hamas, despite rejecting calls for a ceasefire. The Israel-Hamas war, which began with Hamas's surprise attack on Israel October 7th, has resulted in over 11,000 casualties. The Supreme Court will decide whether individuals under protective orders can retain their firearms. The case centers on a Texas man who assaulted his ex-girlfriend and made threats against her life. John Schaefer, USA News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights. And you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Michael Medved Show. Pleasure to welcome to the show Steve Inskeep, who is a host of NPR's Morning Edition, which is heard all around the country, and also part of NPR's Morning News podcast, Up First. He is known for his interviews with presidents and congressional leaders, as well as Kentucky coal miners and U.S.-Mexico border detainees, Yemeni refugees, California fighter fighters, and more. But he never did get to interview Abraham Lincoln. And despite that fact, we have a great deal to learn from Abraham Lincoln, which is the theme of Steve's book, which is marvelous. It is called Differ We Must, How Lincoln Succeeded in a Divided America. And what I find fascinating is that term, Differ We Must, is actually taken from Lincoln in a letter to his best friend, somebody who had been a friend, a close friend of his, all the way back to the his young manhood in New Salem, Illinois. And his friend was Joshua Speed, who was the son of a slave owner and had very different feelings about slavery than Lincoln. And differ we must, but then what? What did Lincoln offer to heal those differences, Steve Inskeep?
Well, hey there, Michael. It's an honor to be on. Thank you very much. And I still want to go for that Abraham Lincoln interview. I think that'd be a good one if we could figure out a way to get that going. But I'm gonna maybe come to your show first. It's hard to say. But you asked what did Lincoln offer? I think that's an important question because we're struggling with how do we deal with differences? How do we deal with people in our society today that we think are totally politically wrong or morally wrong? And the starting point for Lincoln was not necessarily converting the other person or totally changing their mind. He didn't necessarily expect to do that. But he wanted to figure out if there was one out of 10 things that he could work with a person on. And you mentioned his best friend, Joshua Speed. They disagreed about slavery. Speed admitted in the abstract that it was wrong, but Lincoln didn't think he was really serious about it, which sounds like a pretty major failing from our perspective because slavery was so horrible. But Lincoln didn't let go of this guy. He told him why he thought he was wrong, but kept him as his best friend and ultimately got some use out of him because a few years later, when Lincoln was president, Joshua Speed was on the right side of history and helped to keep his state of Kentucky in the Union. He was pro-Union, even if Lincoln thought he was wrong about slavery.
They also disagreed in years gone by about religion, and there's this wonderful story about Joshua Speed coming to the White House when Lincoln was president and being shocked to see Lincoln, who at one time had been a free thinker, sitting at what was then the president's office, which was the office upstairs. It's today the Lincoln's bedroom, and reading the Bible, which Speed hadn't expected. And Lincoln told him there was a lot in that Bible that could help him.
Yeah, I mean, Lincoln's religious beliefs all his life were a little bit mysterious, which is one of the most remarkable things about him. He was a public figure. He's the most famous person almost in American history. He gave all these speeches. He talked all the time, and yet he managed to almost hide behind his own words his deepest beliefs, and that includes his religious beliefs throughout his life. But he referred to God. He referred to God increasingly in his speeches. And I would not be surprised if we happened upon Lincoln reading the Bible, because I think he understood how important a text it was for his constituents. Regardless of his exact spiritual beliefs, he understood the political importance of that text and that it was a language he could use to communicate with voters. And he also had ideas about powers larger than himself that in some way directed destiny or directed the world. And sometimes he used the word God for that larger power, and sometimes he didn't.
But belief in providence was certainly part of his outlook. In terms of working with people who were at one time political opponents, the team of rivals idea was made popular in the book by Doris Goodman. Goodwin. But in terms of working with former enemies, you suggest in your book we could have had a very different history of Reconstruction if Lincoln had survived?
Yeah, it's hard to say exactly how. It seems certain to me that Lincoln would not have approached the post-war period the same way that Andrew Johnson did, his vice president, who of course took over when Lincoln was assassinated, just because Johnson fairly openly sided with the South. He essentially wanted the South to be rebuilt on the same terms as before the war, as close as possible without technical slavery. And it seemed that Lincoln was on his way to something broader and more generous and more equal, even if maybe not perfectly equal between the races. That was the direction in which he was going, and equality was the great theme of his life. And you make a great point when you raise Doris Kearns Goodwin's book about Lincoln's rivals for the presidency, people who basically believed as he did, but they had their own egos and their own ambitions, and Lincoln had to manage them. While I really admire that book, I try for something a little different here and a little broader. I include one or two of those rivals, but also a much bigger cast of characters, including people of color, including women, including people who favored slavery, people who literally owned slaves, all these kinds of, and people of different classes, all these kinds of people that Lincoln had to deal with. And he wasn't going to get them all on his team, which doesn't happen and really shouldn't happen in a democracy. I mean, you're an advocate of a free society, I know, and we wouldn't want everybody really to be united and think the same thing. That'd be kind of weird and totalitarian. The differences of opinion are what democracy is about. But then when you realize the other person disagrees, then the democratic, small d democratic question becomes, what can we get out of this interaction? Is there one small thing we can work on? Even if there's nothing, is there a way that I can learn from or empathize with, understand the other person's position in a way that I can make a positive use of for the country?
When we come back, Steve, you have a few more minutes?
Yeah, you bet.
Great. When we come back, I'd like to focus on specific lessons that this fraught period in our history, where there is so much disagreement, and it's not just disagreement, it's demonization of the other side, that basically the idea that if the other side wins, that will be the last election we ever have, that will be the end of America, American democracy is imperiled. We can get to that with Steve Inskeep, the author of Differ We Must, How Lincoln Succeeded in a Divided America. How can we benefit from Lincoln's example to succeed ourselves? And are there any figures that Steve Inskeep maybe has interviewed or encountered in our current political world who could be said to be in any sense Lincolnian? it's a radical thought, isn't it? I think it's tough to see too much that's Lincolnian about either of the two front runners for president, either Donald J. Trump or Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. We will be right back with Steve Inskeep, who is host of NPR's Morning Edition and the author of a book that is sure to be a bestseller, Differ We Must, How Lincoln Succeeded in a Divided America. He also just came back from Israel, Steve Inskeep, and what did he observe there? We'll get to that and more on The Medved Show.
I agree with you about 99% of the time. I appreciate your pursuit of truth.
The Michael Medved Show.
You're one of the most brilliant guys on the air, TV or radio.
Well, just when you thought...
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for Amfed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call Amfed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Michael Medved Show, the new book, Differ We Must, How Lincoln Succeeded in a Divided America. And he succeeded most significantly of all of keeping America from being permanently divided and preserving our federal union. Steve Inskeep, who is the host of NPR's Morning Edition all across the country, is the author of Differ We Must. And in terms of I think it's 16 episodes that you describe in the book, which one do you think will surprise people most as an example of Lincoln working with the other side?
Wow. Well, one of my favorites is his working with a guy named Joseph Gillespie, who was a kind of anti-foreigner, anti-immigrant guy.
A know-nothing.
A know-nothing, as they were called then. And these are not people who are opposed to illegal immigration. These are people who are opposed to immigration, who think that foreigners should not have any role in the government, should not be elected to anything, and it should be even very hard for them to vote even after they become citizens. And they were very powerful in the 1850s, and Lincoln found their beliefs to be repugnant. But he was friends with some of them in Illinois as a rising politician. And when Lincoln ran for Senate in 1858, super famous campaign against Stephen A. Douglas, the Lincoln-Douglas debates were part of this campaign. The thing that was going on behind the scenes was Lincoln desperately trying to get enough votes for his side, which was the anti-slavery side, which was a hard sell in Illinois. And some of the people that he needed were these know-nothings. And he went to his friend, Joseph Gillespie, and got his help to try to round up know-nothing voters for his cause. And this is one of those hard things about politics, Michael, the way you hear about strange bedfellows. This was especially so, because Lincoln really thought they were wrong about immigration. And he tried to keep his integrity when speaking to know-nothing audiences by not parroting their beliefs that he didn't accept. He just talked with them about slavery, but he did reach out to them. I mean, he did something that I think a lot of people are reluctant to do today, which is to keep open his lines of communication to these people that he believed were really wrong about something, because he understood that in a democracy they still had the vote, and so he had to try to get their votes.
And one of the things that is striking is if you look at the Republican platform of 1860, when Lincoln was nominated for president, it's not a long, rambling platform like we have today that's often run to hundreds of pages. This is like two pages. And one of the 10 items of the platform is an anti-know-nothing piece of the platform that said that the right to legal immigration should not be suspended because of the agitations and success of this so-called American Party that flourished in the 1850s. What about Lincoln? And because you hear this all the time, people want to take down statues of Lincoln. The main reason they often come to for taking down a statue of our greatest president is that he allowed the hanging of some 30 members of the Dakota tribe after the Dakota War out in the Midwest, in the midst of our Civil War. What do you say to people who hold Lincoln accountable for that?
Well, I think you can hold Lincoln accountable for that, but then the question is, what really happened, and how do we look at this in its full complexity? If I can take a minute, I know we're getting close to the end of the hour, but there was an Indian uprising, a Dakota uprising, in Minnesota in 1862. A treaty had been imposed upon them by white settlers. The white settlers weren't keeping the treaty, and they rose up and committed atrocities and fought a brief rebellion, which was put down, and hundreds of men were captured. 303 of them were put on trial and sentenced to death. And the way that you think about what happened next is really kind of a Rorschach test. It tells you more about the teller sometimes than Lincoln, because Lincoln was suspicious of these 303 convictions, asked for the records to be sent to him in Washington, assigned two White House lawyers to review them, and in the overwhelming majority of cases found the evidence to be insufficient and commuted their sentences. He then decided that those who were convicted of participating in massacres of the innocent, as opposed to ordinary combat, should be executed, and he ultimately allowed 38 people to be hanged. Now, you can look at that as the largest mass execution in American history, which it was, and you can raise lots of questions about due process and everything else, but Lincoln narrowed that down to a defensible choice of punishing people who were guilty of what we would consider to be war crimes and not punishing people who were really just ordinary prisoners of war. So I can remember a time in my life when I read accounts of this that praised Lincoln's conduct. More recently,
because it wasn't only the biggest, it wasn't only the biggest mass execution; it was the biggest mass commutation. He saved the lives of 300 people.
Yeah, and there are other times when people lean on the execution. And again, I think you can hold him accountable. You can criticize him. You can say those military courts weren't fair. But you can look at the complexity of that and see that as the chief executive, he made a choice that you can understand, that is a defensible choice whether you ultimately agree with it or not.
You were just in Israel, I understand.
Yeah.
Got back a little while ago. What surprised you most about what you saw?
I don't know if it's a surprise, but just the sadness of the entire episode, the tragedy of the entire episode, is hard to get your brain around. The very first thing that I did was sit with the family of a young man who was taken hostage by Hamas, who turned 18 a few days after being taken into custody, and you sense the awfulness of that. And then a few days later, I was in the West Bank. I can't get into Gaza right now, but I was in the West Bank talking with Palestinians, and you feel the anger that people feel there at the way they've been treated for a very long time and what they see as oppression by the state. And we can say, objectively, they are governed under a different set of laws than Israelis are, and it's hard to see that as an equal situation. And you feel the tragedy of it. And it is a strange situation that Israel finds itself in, where we describe this as a war that began October 7th, but as you know very well, I mean, this is decades of conflict with Palestinians, with people beyond the Palestinians, and it's a strange way to try to build a free society, and there are a lot of unanswered questions for Israelis about how you govern a democratic society that provides equality for all those people that are governed by it. How do you preserve a Jewish state as such that is also a democracy? These are long-term questions that Israelis have faced for decades and are nowhere near resolving.
And the last question, any Lincolnian leaders that you see on the world stage or the national stage right now?
Oh, my goodness, I would not say so. I mean, anybody could say, wow, that's a Lincoln. I think that there are people who try to pick up on this idea of dealing with people who differ. Joe Biden is someone who boasted of this in his 2020 campaign. He said, listen, when I was a young man in the Senate, I dealt with segregationists who I thought were awfully wrong, but I got things out of them. And he was fiercely criticized for that. That is really out of the style of this moment. You're supposed to denounce your enemies at all times. But that actually is a little bit in the spirit of Lincoln, who would even deal with slave owners if he thought he could get something for the country. I think that you can look across the political spectrum here and there and find people who make an effort to do that, make an effort to deal with the other side when they can, but they are often denounced for it. I mean, the last thing that Kevin McCarthy did before being deposed as Speaker of the House of Representatives was make a deal with Democrats to keep the government open.
And by the way, let's see, we have 10 days left before the government shutdown. You looking forward to that, are you, John?
Well, Steve. I mean, it'll be an interesting... That's quite all right. It'll be an interesting story if it happens. I mean, you would like to think that they will figure it out, but this is a test for a new Speaker of the House and a very long-serving Senate leadership and a very long-serving president.
Well, I appreciate it, and thank you. And the new book, again, is called Differ We Must, How Lincoln Succeeded in a Divided America. Coming up on the Medved Show, we are going to be speaking to John. That's why I got Steve Inskeep's name wrong, for which I apologize. We're speaking to John Hugh, distinguished legal scholar, professor of law at University of California at Berkeley Law School, taking a look at President Trump's epical testimony yesterday in his fraud trial, and more on the impact of those trials on this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hey, want to feel young again? Are you tired, run down, have aches and pains, brain fog? This is science-based, not hype or fancy marketing. It really works. Carbon 60 helps detoxify your body on the cellular level. It stabilizes free radicals, just like the antioxidants found in red wine and berries do, but on a far smaller, more bioavailable nanoscale. It's like a bottle of electrons, helping your body to function better. You can also apply it on your skin topically, over muscles, joints, or organs. Most people feel results within minutes. This is not a drug. It's organic carbon. Feel better today. About 95% of our users report more energy and clarity of mind within 10 days. Give us a call at Greska's Carbon 60 at 720-600-6040 or visit our site at c-60.com. Call 720-600-6040. And feel young again.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.